This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
As I look to nature's beauty, dazzled am I, knowing everything calls on you, the Lord Most High.
When you go to Allah, Allah comes to you and so does the creation. Everything you're running after, you get it when you run to Allah. When you love the giver more than the gift, then and only then will you be gifted. When you love the giver more than the gift, then you will be gifted.
Assalamu alaikum. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. You know why I get overwhelmed when I look out? Because I realize that all of us are here for one reason, inshallah. We're all here joined together for La ilaha illallah. And that is powerful. We are all here because we realize that there's nothing worthy of our worship. There's nothing worthy of our ultimate love and our ultimate fear and our ultimate dependence and our ultimate hope except for our Creator. And that is powerful. Allahu Akbar. I want to talk today about some stories that are not just stories. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His book relates to us the inspirational stories of a number of people, of those people who are nearest to Allah. And in those stories are lessons for all time. I want to go through and gain some of those lessons, inshallah, discuss some of those lessons from these inspirational stories. I want to begin at the beginning. And this is a story we all learned when we were young. It is the story of Adam and how we started. Adam alayhi salam and Hawa. We know that even before Adam came, before Allah made Adam, He told the angels that He was going to make a Khalifa on this earth. That He was going to create a vicegerent, a representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this earth. And the angels, they had a natural question. This creation was going to have a choice. And with that choice, some people were going to make the wrong choice. And so the angels asked, why, you know, not out of questioning Allah, but to understand, you creating this creation that are going to spill blood and spread mischief. When we worship you and we celebrate your praises, that's all the angels do. And Allah responds to them and says, I know what you do not know. In the fact that you and I have a choice, it gives us the potential to be even better than the angels. The reason is that an angel does not have choice to worship Allah, but you and I do. And when we use that choice to worship Him, then we have the potential to be better than the angels. But we also have another potential. We also have the potential to be worse than the animals, to be lower than the animals. And the reason is that an animal lives to eat, drink, and reproduce. If a human being uses their life, uses the time on this earth to just eat, drink, and reproduce, then they become not just like the cattle, but even less, even more astray, because we have the ability to do something more. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam, He told Adam and Hawa not to eat from a particular tree. And we know the story that Iblis deceived them, not as we know from other religions that it was Hawa, but that Iblis deceived them both. So they slipped and they ate from the tree. We also know that Allah made a commandment to Iblis. And He told Iblis, Shaitan, to bow to Adam. This was a bow of respect. But Iblis was too arrogant to bow to him. Iblis said, I am better than him. You created me from fire and you created him from clay. This is our first example of arrogance and where arrogance can take a person. It is a warning to us never to allow arrogance to take over. But there's something else here. When if I were to ask you, what did Iblis do wrong? Many people would say he disobeyed Allah. He was arrogant. Both are true. But my question to you is, didn't Adam alayhi salam also do something he wasn't supposed to? Didn't Adam alayhi salam also eat from a tree that he was told not to? But Adam alayhi salam went on to become a prophet, and Iblis went on to be forever taken out of Jannah. So what's the difference? And there's a very important difference. The difference wasn't that they made a mistake. Because as we know, it is in our human nature to slip. The difference is that when Adam slipped, his response was very different than Iblis. His response was, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ His response was, our Lord, we have wronged our own selves. Humility first. He took responsibility for his own mistake. And then he said, وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ And if you do not forgive us and have mercy on us, we will be among the losers. Humility, repentance, and the understanding of his need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know what happened? Allah forgave him. And Allah sent him to this earth as a messenger. Now look at Iblis. Iblis also didn't do something he was told to do. But look at his response. His response was the complete opposite. His response was, because you, O Allah, have kicked me out. So first thing, is he taking responsibility? He's actually blaming Allah for his own mistake. You have kicked me out. Do we sometimes act like this? We don't take responsibility for our own shortcomings. We don't take responsibility when we make a mistake. We don't respond with humility, but we respond with arrogance. And we want to blame others. This is what Shaitan did. And then he vowed to try to take as many with him as possible to Jahannam, to hellfire, wa'a'udhu billah. Let me ask you this. After Iblis had made the mistake that he made, had he humbled himself and repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do you think Allah would not have forgiven him? Allah is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, At-Tawwab. Allah's mercy, he says, prevails over his wrath. But we have to seek it and we have to humble ourselves. This is a lesson for us. Allah told us this story as a lesson for us, not to despair. Because even the word Iblis comes from Iblasa, which means to despair. Iblis's ultimate problem wasn't that he was imperfect in his worship per se, but it was that when he was imperfect in his worship, which, you know, jinn and ins will be, he did not humble himself and he despaired in the mercy and forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a warning and a lesson for us to never despair in the mercy and forgiveness of Allah. We will be imperfect, but we have to keep coming back to Allah and seeking His forgiveness. When we study the lives of the prophets, peace be upon them all, we realize something across the board with all of them. And that is that they went through challenges. Their lives were not easy. Do we go through challenges? Do we have times in our life where it's not easy? Can we relate to that at some level, at our level? Not like their level, our level of tests and hardships. What inspiration can we get from their stories? Well, there are different ways to respond when you're hit with a hardship. There are different ways to respond when you're struck with a calamity. One of the problems is that often when we are struck with a hardship or a calamity, we may know, yes, this is a test. But you know when you're in school and your professor gives you a test, we have this concept in our mind of what a test is. A test in the human world is when the professor hands a test and then the professor separates himself or herself from the one taking the test. The professor steps back and just watches how that student is going to perform. Is the student allowed to raise their hand and ask for help? You can't raise your hand and say, "Oh professor, I don't know how to do this problem, can you help me out?" Because that would be considered cheating. Now we deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a very similar way. When we're faced with a challenge and we know it's a test, we tell ourselves, okay, we brace ourselves and we say, okay, I got this. And sometimes what we do, sometimes we react in different ways. But what we often do is we turn to creation for help. Our immediate response when we're hit with the hardship is to turn to the created world for help. So for example, that person who's in the middle of the ocean when the storm hits, that person, the first reaction is, okay, let me look for the life jacket. Let me look for the lifeboat. When the life jacket is damaged and the lifeboat is gone, now let me call, you know, SOS. Let me call someone for help. This is us when we're in a hardship and we turn to our money. We turn to our false senses of security. We turn to people. We turn to all of these things. And it's only when they all let us down and they all the doors close, now that person looks upward, right? That's when we say, "Ya Allah, I tried everything else." Instead of turning to Allah immediately, we turn to the created world. And sometimes people, when they're in the hardship, they turn and rely on their own selves. This is that toughening up that happens. You're in the hardship and you become tough. And you say, okay, I gotta be strong. I got this. And you depend on your own self. Because you think that you're not allowed to raise your hand and ask for help. Because this is a test. I'm on my own. That's how we feel. And Allah is watching me to see how I'm going to perform, and I can't raise my hand and ask for help. This is completely missing the point. The very reason why Allah gives us that test, the very reason why He gives us those challenges, is so that we raise our hand and ask for help. It is so that we turn back to Him and we acknowledge, as Adam alayhi salam acknowledged, that we are in desperate need for Allah. And without Allah's help, we will be among the losers. Without Allah's mercy and forgiveness. When we examine the stories of the prophets, peace be upon them, how did they respond? Yunus alayhi salam. Yunus alayhi salam was in such a situation. Now, have you ever felt trapped before? Maybe trapped by financial problems, trapped by relationship problems, trapped by problems at work, trapped by problems with your friends, health problems. Yunus alayhi salam was really trapped. He was, not only was he stuck in the middle of an ocean, he's not even on a boat. He's inside the belly of a giant fish or whale. He's inside of the dark ocean. So he is in a trap upon trap. What does he do? Does he say, okay, I got this? Does he say, okay, now I have to rely on my intellect to try to get me out of this? Or I have to call for help from, you know, the lifeguards or the coast guards? Does he try to find like a sharp object to try to get him out of the belly of the whale? He doesn't. He says, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. He says such a powerful dua, such a powerful statement. And the Prophet ﷺ tells us that when we are in a similar situation, we should also say that dua. La ilaha illa ant. There is nothing worthy of worship but you. He is being redirected. He is acknowledging the tawheed of Allah. That his situation has nothing to do with anything else. His difficulty has nothing to do with anything else. His difficulty, his situation is to direct him to the oneness of Allah. La ilaha illa anta subhanak. Allah is high above everything else. All the other false sense of security, all the other false senses of security that we depend on and we turn to. Inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Indeed, I was among the wrongdoers. Again, humility. Acknowledging his own desperate need for Allah. That is the response in hardship. That is how we respond. And it is because of that dua. And Allah tells us something very interesting in the Quran. He says that had he not done that, had he not had this response, he would have stayed in there until the end of time. And you know, Allah doesn't ever tell us anything without a purpose. What can we learn from that? We will not get out of our situation. Our external situation will not change until we change what's inside ourselves. until we realize that it's about Allah, that it's about turning back to Allah, that it's about acknowledging La ilaha illa ant in your life. And because he did that, Allah saved him from his situation. Allah freed him. When we look at the example of Musa alayhi salam, even while before Musa grew up and became a prophet, we see the story of Musa from childhood. And in this is a very powerful lesson. Allah tells us that during this time, Musa alayhi salam lived at a time when the tyrant Fir'aun was killing babies. And Musa's mother was afraid for him. So what happens? Again, if you're afraid for your son being killed, what are you going to do? You're going to try everything to try to protect him, right? Hide, you know, cover him. But Allah tells her to do something else, which would seem counterintuitive, right? He tells her, he inspires her to actually let him go. To actually let him go and put him in the river. Can you imagine for a moment the amount of trust that you would have to put your child in the river? As a mother, can you imagine that? Her trust in Allah was so strong that she knew that Allah would take care of him. But can you imagine how much trust that took? That is tawakkul. You want to understand what tawakkul is in your life? When Allah tells you to do something, but inside your desires, they want you to do something else. But do you trust Him? When you're afraid and you don't know how things are going to turn out, do you trust Him? So she let him go. And it's a very, very deep lesson. That when you give up something for the sake of Allah, when you let go of something for the sake of Allah, Allah always brings it back to you in some other form. In a better form, in this life, in the next life. But it takes trust. So she lets him go in the river, and look at the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, just to show us His power, to protect us, to protect His creation. He was raised in the very house of the tyrant. In the mouth of the lion. In the house of Fir'aun, and Allah protected him. See, we think that, you know, we go to all these lengths to protect ourselves and our families. If Allah is protecting you, even in the house of the tyrant, of the murderer, you will be protected. If Allah is your protection. Allah protected him there. But something amazing happens as well. Allah doesn't leave that woman. Allah doesn't leave that woman who put her trust in Allah. Allah returns Musa alayhi salam to his mother. That's a lesson. Allah tells us there is a lesson. And it's so beautiful because Allah says that the reason he returned Musa to his mother alayhi salam, لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْ. Allah tells us that the reason he returned Musa to his mother, لِكَيْ لَا تَحْزَنْ. عَفْوًا. لِكَيْ لَا تَحْزَنْ. So that she wouldn't be sad. Can you imagine that Allah cares that much about the sadness of one woman? Like, we sometimes feel like no one really cares about how we feel. You know, when you feel sad and you feel like no one cares, Allah cared that much about the sadness of one woman. He speaks about in the Quran. He makes history happen because of the sadness of one woman. لِكَيْ لَا تَحْسَن. So, كَيْ تُقَرُّ عَيْنُهَا وَلَا تَحْزَن is what the ayah says. So that her eyes, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give her, so that, you know, the coolness of her eyes, He would give her that, and that she would not be sad. And there's another reason that Allah says, وَلِتَعْلَمَ أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ. And so that she would know that the promise of Allah is true. Oh, so powerful. He returned Musa to her so that she could be happy, and so that she wouldn't have to be sad, and so that she would know that the promise of Allah is true. What's that promise? That promise is when you put your trust in Allah, when you let go for Allah, He'll bring it back. Allah will always reward you and take care of you and replace what you give up for His sake with something better. Wallahi, it's the truth. Musa alayhi salam was trained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says that He raised him. That Allah says He in Allah was training Musa alayhi salam. At the very beginning of training, as we're told in Surah Taha, Allah addresses Musa alayhi salam directly. And He tells him a few things. First, He introduces Himself to Musa alayhi salam, that I am Allah, and I am your Lord. And then immediately Allah tells him, فَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. This shows us the importance of salah, the importance of dhikr, the importance of remembering Allah. This is one of the first commandments given to Musa alayhi salam. He introduces Himself. He lets Musa know that He is the Lord, and then He commands him to remember Him through salah. We need to understand that that is the foundation of our relationship with Allah. And you can't be successful in whatever it is that you are assigned to do on this earth without that. What was Musa alayhi salam's assignment? His assignment was to go to Pharaoh. But before he could go to Pharaoh, before he was told to go to Pharaoh, he was told to remember Allah and to establish prayer for his remembrance. That's how important it is. And then Allah further trains Musa alayhi salam. He asks him, مَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى. What is in your right hand, O Musa? And Musa alayhi salam replies, هي عصايا أتوكأ عليها. It is my staff and I lean on it. So powerful. Commentators say that he was leaning on the means. He was leaning on the means like we do. Depending on the means. The creation. The staff is just a creation. So what does Allah tell him to do? Throw it. Throw it. And when he threw it, he saw that it became a snake. What can we learn from that? The creation can either be a staff that supports you or a snake that bites you. And it is in Allah's hands which one they are. Don't ever lean completely on the creation, because the same staff that supported you can turn around and be a snake that bites you. This is the nature of the creation. The creation is not Allah. It doesn't always have your back. It isn't always going to hold you up. It isn't always going to be the same. It's always changing and it flips. Allah is teaching him. But then he tells him to take it back. This time, you know, this taking back, there is a difference between having the creation in our hand or having the creation in our heart. Are we ultimately dependent on the creation? Now Musa alayhi salam takes it back and it becomes a staff again. But if you, this time when he takes it back, and he says, I'll put it in its original form. All of this is in the hands of Allah. The people who help you today and then hurt you tomorrow, they can help you again the next day. Love you. This is all in Allah's control. They love you today, they hate you tomorrow, they love you again the next day. It isn't something that you can depend on. You have to depend on Allah. Because Allah has that in His control. And then Allah goes on to train him and He tells him to put his hand away. Under his arm. What do you do with your hand? He tells him to take off his shoes before that. What do you do with your shoes? Commentators say that all of these things, his hand, his staff, his shoes, are all part of the means. Part of the things that we use, the tools of this life that we use, of the created world. We can use them, but we should never depend on them. We should never lean on them. Because ultimately the control is in Allah's hands. After this training, Allah then sends him off to go to Fir'aun. And reminds him again about his dhikr. وَلَا تَلِيَ فِي ذِكْرِي. Do not even bend a little bit. Do not become loose in your dhikr. We cannot be successful if we become loose in our dhikr, in our remembrance. We can't even bend in it. We have to remember Allah and remember Him a lot. Kathiran, a lot. Now if you fast forward, you see something else amazing that happens with Musa alayhi salam. Now he got all this training from Allah. Allah raised him. Now Musa alayhi salam is put in a situation. He's trying to escape Fir'aun and his army with Bani Israel. And he ends up at the Red Sea. And behind him is the army of a superpower and a tyrant who wants to kill these people. And in front of him is this blockade of a Red Sea. Can you imagine this situation? Have you ever felt trapped before? He's trapped. He's trapped. And it's closing in on him. And if we're in that situation, what would we think? We would respond most probably very similar to how Bani Israel responded. Inna lamudrakun. We will surely be overtaken. They freaked out. But Musa alayhi salam, his trust was in Allah. His trust was no longer in the means, right? His trust was in Allah. Even though he couldn't see, you know, a pathway out of this situation, he couldn't imagine a pathway out of this situation. He says, "Kalla, qala kalla, inna ma'ya Rabbi sayahdeen." He says, "By no means, my Lord is with me and He will guide me through." Do we have that response when we're in that situation? Do we have that response when things look impossible? And we're stuck, and we're trapped, and we see no way out. Do we really have that response of "Inna ma'ya Rabbi sayahdeen"? My Lord will never leave me. Kalla. Inna ma'ya Rabbi sayahdeen. My Lord is with me, and He will get me through this. We need to have that response because. Because if you have that response, guess what happens? Allah opens Red Seas for you. Allah told him, take your staff, again the means, in his hand now, not in his heart, and he tells him to strike the sea. And that sea splits in half. Allah made a way out for them from places they never imagined. That's what happens when you have that kind of response in that kind of situation. When you know firmly that Allah will never leave you and that He will make a way out for you, because all of this is His creation. The sea, the staff, the Fir'aun, the army, it's all in His control. Whoa, how can you fear these things when He's the one in control of them? The money that you're afraid of losing, all of it is His. You think He can't bend it for you? You think He can't make a way out of His own creation for you? Our problem is we see the Red Sea, but we don't see Allah. We see the army, but we don't see Allah. We see the staff, but we don't see Allah. And so we fear these things. And we lose hope. And we don't see Allah in them. Allah, the Prophet Musa alayhi salam, he saw only Allah. He didn't see the Red Sea. He didn't see the Pharaoh. He saw only the help of Allah. And so he didn't waver. He knew he would be taken care of. And Allah made a way out for him. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Whoever has God consciousness, Allah will make a way out for them. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. You know when you feel trapped? Allah will make a way out for you. وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And He will provide for you from places that you never imagined. An opening in the middle of a sea? Like, could anyone imagine that? Don't think that this is just a story. We need to start to understand that these are not just stories. Allah goes on to say, after telling us this story, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً. Indeed, in this is a sign. But most people, and Allah goes on to say, but most people don't get it. Most people don't get it. These are signs. Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam also was trained. His training was a training again of Tawheed. Look at the beautiful training of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He looks at the star, he looks at the sun, he looks at these things of the creation, and each time he sees something impressive, and you know, commentators say this was not literally, he wasn't literally thinking it was his Lord, but this is a lesson for us. Something impressive, oh, this is my Lord, but then it sets. What is this teaching us? No matter how impressive the creation is, it will always set. It will never be perfect. If we put our complete trust in it, it will let us down. Because that's not the nature of the creation, to be depended on as we only depend on Allah. And so he goes through each one, and finally he says that he turns to Allah and realizes Allah is the one who never sets. Allah is the one who is perfect. Now later on, Ibrahim alayhi salam is being thrown in a fire. So powerful. Like Musa alayhi salam, who's standing in front of the Red Sea and has a superpower army behind him, now Ibrahim alayhi salam is being thrown in a fire. And commentators say that as he was being thrown in the fire, actually, you know, mid-air, He's being thrown in the fire. Mid-air, Angel Jibreel comes to him, alayhi salam, and says, do you need something? Can I help you? Can you imagine our situation if we're about to be thrown in a fire and the angel comes and says, you know, can I get you some? Get me out of here. That's what you can do for me. Do you know what he says? أَمَّا إِلَيْكَ فَلَا. From you? No. From you? No. That was the degree of his tawheed. He's not even asking for help from Angel Jibreel. He says, no, from you, no. His tawheed was such a high level that he knew Allah would get him out of it. Allah's got me. I don't even need help from Angel Jibreel. أَمَّا إِلَيْكَ فَلَا. Do we have that type of response when we're in trouble? Because if you do have anything close to that type of response, knowing that Allah will take care of you, knowing that Allah has got you, that He has your back, you know what happens? Allah cools the fire. Allah commanded the angels to say to the fire, "Kuni bardan wa salama ala Ibrahim." Be cool and safe, place of security for Ibrahim. Who controls these things? Who controls the fire? Who controls these things that we're afraid of? The things that we fear, the things that we love as we should only love Allah. Who controls them? So the fire was made cool on Ibrahim alayhi salam. You know, we all go through hardship. Inshallah, we'll never have to be thrown in fire. However, we have social fires, we have emotional fires, we have financial fires, we have psychological fires, family fire. We have all of these types of fires. And when we're being thrown in those fires, which we will for sure be thrown into at some point in some level, how do we respond? Do we really, really believe that Allah can make those fires bardan wa salama on us? Do we really believe that if we turn to Allah, He can make those fires cool and secure for us? If we believe that and we ask Him and we turn to Him, that's exactly what He can do. Even within the hardship, you can have peace inside. Inside can be better than wasalama. Inside can be cool and secure. Even when outside, all you see is fire. It doesn't have to burn you. It doesn't have to harm you. It doesn't have to kill you. It's all in Allah's control. But where is our heart turning? Where do we turn for help? Where do we turn for security? Where do we turn for refuge? He wouldn't even turn to Angel Jibreel alayhi salam. Amma ilayka fala. It's Allah. This is La ilaha illallah. And then Ibrahim alayhi salam, his training continues. He gets older and he's trying and he wants a son for so long. Finally, Allah gifts him with a son. And then what happens? This was perhaps the most beloved person to him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has him see in a dream that he's slaughtering his son. Have you ever reflected about this? Why? You think Allah needs him to slaughter his son? Why? What is Allah doing? We even know already that the intent wasn't to actually kill his son. So what is it about? By agreeing, by accepting to slaughter his son, what is he really slaughtering? He is slaughtering any potential attachment, any potential competitor with his love for Allah. He's essentially saying, yeah, Allah, I love you more. Do we say that to Allah when we are tested? And when we are asked to sacrifice something that we love, do we say that? Yeah, Allah, I love you more. Are we willing to do that? And when he did that, Allah saved his son. But Allah had done something in him. See, something had happened in him. He is being freed of any other possible competitor. So that pure La ilaha illallah, he is the father of that. He is the epitome of that. Tawheed. We also have times in our life where something we really love is taken away from us. Does it happen? Does it happen? Think of the example of a child. A child who falls in love with a toy. And that child loves the toy so much that the child completely loses perspective. The child, all this child wants to do is play with that toy. He does not want to eat. He does not want to go to school. He does not want to sleep. Just the toy. Just the toy. That's all he sees. What does a loving parent do in this situation? The child does not understand how he is hurting himself because of his obsession with the toy. What does the loving parent do in this situation? He or she takes away the toy. What happens when he takes away the toy? Now the child can refocus and realize that he still needs to eat and go to sleep and go to school. Sometimes in our lives, Allah gives us gifts. And we start to become so focused on the gift. Sometimes it is our spouse. Sometimes it is our children. Sometimes it is our money. Sometimes it is our status or our power. And we become so focused on the gift that we forget and we lose focus and we lose perspective. And we are hurting ourselves. Allah saves us from that at times by taking it away. This is why it happens. And if our response is proper, is correct, then we will refocus and come back to Allah. After that happens, Allah can give back to you your gift or better than it. But the point here is there's something greater than the gift. What is it? It's the fact that he took away your negligence and your distraction and your dependence on other than him, and he gave you complete dependence on him. So there's something more important than the gift being taken and the gift being given back or not. And that is that he gave you back that love for him. He gave you something priceless, something worth even more than the gift that you were so in love with. Now he gave you focus, dependence, and ultimate love on him. Look at the story of Hajar. Again, the story. She's also in a very hopeless seeming situation. She is also in a situation where you can't imagine a way out. She's in the middle of a desert. And she has a young baby. And they are, you know, thirsty. What does Hajar do in this situation? Well, we know that Hajar was depending on Allah. But does she just sit there? Does dependence on Allah mean that I don't ever act? No. Because dependence on Allah is in the heart. Tawakkul is an act of the heart. It isn't an act of the limbs. Your heart can be completely dependent on Allah while still acting. So she gets up and she runs. She strives hard. This process between Safa and Marwa is even called Sa'i, which means to strive. She strove hard. It isn't easy to walk that distance, let alone run that distance. When you're dehydrated and in the middle of the desert, there's no cover like there is now. Now look at something else that happens. She starts out at Safa, looks for water and doesn't find any. Then she runs to Marwa. So she doesn't give up because she didn't find water at Safa. She goes to Marwa and then she looks again and doesn't find water. Now think about this for a moment. Have you ever tried something before and it didn't work out? Now she is going to go back and try the same thing again. She doesn't give up. Even though she already checked Safa, right? She's already tried that. She doesn't give up. So it's a lesson in hope. It's a lesson in not giving up. She runs back to Safa and looks again. And she doesn't find water. But does she stop there? Does she give up there? No. She goes again to Marwa, which she already checked. At this point, she has checked Safa twice, checked Marwa twice. She still doesn't give up. This is how we need to respond. When we have tried something again and again, this is sabr. This is perseverance. This is constancy. You keep trying and you don't give up hope. Because eventually Allah will open for you. And after 7 times, Allah sends a miracle. And the water comes from the desert. Now let me ask you a question about effort, about cause and effect. You know, sometimes we think that it's because of my efforts that something happens. Right? It's because of my righteousness that I am, you know, a good Muslim. It's because of me. It's like Qarun who said, I have all of this money because of a knowledge in me. We think it's our own hard work and our own efforts that give us what we have. And we don't realize that it's a gift from Allah. When you run 7 times between 2 hills, does water come from the sand? Is that a cause and effect? When you take a stick, and you, no matter how big the stick is, and you strike a sea with it, does it split? No, it doesn't. But you still act. Musa alayhi salam still had to take an action as part of his ibadah because Allah told him to. Not because he's going to make the sea split by his action. Allah makes the sea split. Allah makes water come from the sand. But we still have to act. He still had to strike the sea and she still had to run. So in our lives, yes, we act and we try hard and we don't give up and we keep striving, but we realize where the result comes from. The result does not come from me. The result does not come from my efforts, my actions, my deeds. The result comes from Allah. Even Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ said, no one will enter Jannah just by his deeds. And they said, even you, O Rasulullah, if there was anyone to enter Jannah by his deeds, it would be the Prophet ﷺ. He said, even me, if it were not for the mercy of Allah. Everything comes from Him. It is not my efforts that make anything happen. However, I still have to exert effort. And I still have to act. And I still have to do those deeds. Because they are part of my worship. And I was put in existence for only one reason. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ Allah tells us that the only reason that jinn and human beings were created was to fulfill ubudiyyah, to be a abd to Allah, to be a slave to Allah. But please realize that when you enslave yourself to Allah, you're not like a human slave. You're not like a slave to a human being. When you enslave yourself to Allah, you are actually freeing yourself. And so the most accurate translation of abd, of Allah, is the free person. Like the companion said, I have come to free you from the servitude to the slave and bring you to the servitude of the Lord of the slave. So Allah has created us to free us through that ubudiyyah. It is part of my ubudiyyah to act. It is part of my ubudiyyah to act. But while I am acting, my heart is facing Allah. Everything comes from Allah, including all the things we run after. What do we run after in this life? We run after love. We run after money. We run after status and dignity and respect. All of these things come from Allah. Allah is Al-Wadud, the source of love. Allah is Ar-Razzaq, the source of provision. The more you run after this life, the more it runs away from you. And anyone who's tried it for long enough will nod their head. Yeah, the more you run after the creation, the more it runs away from you. This is the design of the Creator, not by accident, because it brings us back to run to Him. It redirects us, because I keep trying to run after these things. I keep trying to run after the love of people, but I'm not getting it. The more I run after the love of people and the praise of people, the less I get of it. You run after people and they're just like, leave me alone. They run away from you. The more you need them. Learn this very, very well. The more you are dependent and the more you need of the creation, the more it lets you down. The more it runs away from you. But the more you need Allah, the more He comes towards you. This is the design. The more needy I am of the creation, the more the creation pushes me away. The more needy I am of Allah, the more Allah comes to me. This is the design of the Creator. You know how you have those friends that you would maybe classify as needy? No one likes that. Right? It's like one of those people you just want to avoid. Am I right? It's not something we are wired to be attracted to. We are repelled from that. Someone is too dependent. Someone is too needy, because we're supposed to be doing that for Allah, not for the creation. Love. We think that the more we run after the love of the people, the more we get it. But actually, that's completely wrong. Love comes from Allah. And I will end, inshallah, with this beautiful hadith about where love comes from. Because I think at the end of the day, that's what we all want. That's it. In some way or another, we want approval, we want respect, we want love, we want acceptance. Everybody wants that. Allah tells us that when He loves a servant, He calls out to Jibreel alayhi salam, and he says, "Oh Jibreel, I love so and so, so love him or her." And then Jibreel alayhi salam calls out to those in the heavens, "Allah loves so and so, so love them, love him or her." And so they love them. And then acceptance is put for that person on this earth. You see how the formula works? You don't get the love of the people by running after the love of the people. You don't get anything from the people, from the creation, by running after the creation. You get from the creation by running to Allah. So when you run after the love of Allah, and you don't have to run after it because it's already there. When you go to Allah, Allah comes to you, and so does the creation. Everything you're running after, you get it when you run to Allah. When you love the giver more than the gift, then and only then will you be gifted. When you love the giver more than the gift, then you will be gifted. أَقُولِ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لِي وَلَكُمْ إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُ بِحَمْدَكَ نَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ نَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.
اقرأ كتاب الله ترق جنانك.